Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Safety where the fear just goes away. The longer we abide in you, all agitation leaves in Jesus' name. All fear leaves in Jesus' name. All sadness leaves in Jesus' name. All grief leaves in Jesus' name. All sickness leaves in Jesus' name. We're just going to abide. We're just going to abide in you. And you do what you need to do. You cut off what you need to cut off. Just going to abide in you, and that blessing is just going to come naturally out of us, through us, and out of us to everyone we see and speak to and hold and love. Thank you, Jesus. Shalom in Jesus' name, and every single body's mind, spirit, and emotions are shalom. Heaven's order right now in this place. We speak heaven's order. Heaven's restoration. Just flow right now. Thank you, Jesus.
It's a really beautiful day today, and I just am so excited because it's just amazing that when we go through life and all the crazy that is happening, we just think that everything's out of control, and we're trying to hear from the Lord, and we're walking, and sometimes we can't see what's in front of us, but we have such a good Heavenly Father that He will lift His voice. He will find ways to bring us to where we need to be if our heart is saying, Lord, I'm here, speak to me. And I feel like today He's doing that with everything that has been lined up. Everyone that's here, I feel like every single person that is in this place today is supposed to be, and it's all in alignment to what the Lord's doing. So I'm going to quickly go through announcements, and then we're going to go to the next part, which is really great. Okay, so the Gap Ministry, if you guys see their stuff over there, we're doing a really special thing where we're collecting different things every month, and we're going to give it to Keystone up the street for their ministry. So this month we're collecting diapers and baby wipes. Oh, I'm sorry, not for Keystone, for the Morningstar Maternity Home. We're doing the diapers and the wipes for the Morningstar Maternity Home, which is really special and beautiful. So, and is a supporter of mothers who need extra support and might not have it in other places. So it's a really good thing. Also, we do an online Bible study Thursdays at 8 p.m. The Zoom ID is in the bulletin. And then we are having Peggy Jones back July 24th. And I love, love, love Peggy Jones so much because she just has this kind of dichotomy of quiet and powerful. And she has a sweet, beautiful, quiet spirit, but such a powerful, prophetic voice that comes through her. She'll just say things so calmly, and it's like, whew, you feel it with such power. And she has such a beautiful heart, and she hears from the Lord, and she is always an encouragement when she comes here. So I highly encourage anyone, if they need to hear from God or just need a reset, pull themselves out of all the crazy and just get realigned to what the Lord's doing. It's a good Sunday to come, July 24th. Also, this month, we are praying for the persecuted church. And I think that this is really a very good thing to be doing because a lot of times we get stuck in our own stuff. And I will tell you, if you want to get out of your stuff and have a balance, be friends of missionaries. it's an amazing thing, because when you hear what they're going through and what they're doing for the Lord, it really shifts how you're feeling in your day-to-day, and it brings balance to it. And your heart grows bigger and further out to how the Lord is moving, not just in your own life, but in other countries and other places. So we are praying for the persecuted church, and there's a really cool guide there that shows the different countries. And we did a post up on Instagram and Facebook on Kutan, and there's prayer points too. We're actually putting extra prayer points on the post online that aren't in the book, but just be led by the Holy Spirit. And this is self-led. So go to whatever pages you want to look into, read it, and just pray how the Spirit leads you to pray over these different countries. My husband, Matt, went to, did a lot of missions work and went to China when he was, I think, 15 or 16. And they were smuggling Bibles over there. And he got caught. He got caught with the Bibles. And they fined him like 10 cents, 15 cents, because he was American. But those same people that are Chinese Christians there are imprisoned for the same exact thing. And it's just a reality check for us to just, you know, put our heart and our vision further out, and then that's going to bring everything else in our own life in better balance. So that's that. Also, if you haven't already installed the Voice of Martyrs Pray Today app, so this actually has an app. You can open it up, and in the menu, you can set up a notification at a convenient time for you to take a minute and pray for our brothers and sisters that live in places that don't have freedoms like we do. All right, so we're going to bring up a special couple here, Pastor John and Sandy Shantz, whoever wants to come up. And these people are really special to me and Matt. They are actually pastors of the pastors of the Hopewell Network. And I'm just going to have them come up and say hi. And then after that, we'll have Kate, our missionary, come up, who we love so much. All right.
Well, oh, it's wonderful to see so many here today. We try to get to all the churches at least twice a year. We were here in January. And my life changed drastically since then. In the middle of April, I started the journey of cancer. And from the moment I started that, even the doctors and nurses told me exactly what Kat was telling us this morning. Stay in the moment. Stay in the moment. They didn't say abide, but to me, I interpreted it as scripture, as to what the Lord was saying. And it was so important. And I hope that you never have to go through something really traumatic to learn that lesson. Mm-hmm. To just stay in the moment. Embrace those moments and don't miss those special nuggets that God has for you. Whether it's in people, I mean, I've learned to appreciate the smallest things and be grateful for them, especially on the bad days. And so I emailed Pastor Matt this morning and said, I hope to be here. I never know till I wake up in the morning what I can do that day. It can change in a moment. And so, what a way to live. I don't have any plans for the day until I wake up that morning and see what's possible. So, to me, it's a major gift to be here with you today. It is so awesome to be here. And one thing, too, that became very real to me is that when I realized again in a new and fresh way that God was willing to give up his son before he's going to give up on me. Isn't that powerful? He was willing to give up his own son before he's going to give up on you and That's give right. up on me. Preach he's it. Not giving up on us.
It's always exciting to venture into the different network churches to see the uniqueness of each and every one. I feel a little emotional this morning. It's okay. I'm not going to hide it. But to just take the time to worship this morning and to be able to flush a lot of stuff out that wants to crowd itself in and occupy our thinking. We're in a very unique time in our world and in our own personal lives. And you finally get to the place where you know you've made some decisions on what really matters, and it's quite different than you might have thought. And so it's I'm just very grateful, and going through this journey, it's really tough when you find someone going through painful experiences. You don't have the pain, but that doesn't mean you're not affected by what's taking place. This has been a most unusual year, and yet I'm very excited, because when the enemy is pressing in on you, it means that there's something that God wants to do, and he's trying to prevent it, whatever that might be. And we're old, but I feel like the youth who could still, like Caleb, could still take the mountain. And whatever we have is not to close our eyes and drift into eternity. There's much to be done, and we're giving the opportunity and privilege of being part of that, which is what you are as well. So we have reason to be excited, and all the things about our world that are going on, telling us God isn't real, he's not necessary, he's out, whatever the stories they tell themselves. It's one of the things that I'm realizing is that each of us have been entrusted with a testimony. God has done something. And why are we being so quiet about it? Why aren't we talking about it? Because I don't want to hear your religion. People don't want to hear your religion. They want to hear what has done for you.
Right.
What value is this? Why should I embrace such ridiculous things, as they might say? But a personal testimony kind of jumps over that gap. And so many times, there's so many beautiful testimonies of what God has done and is doing, and we fail to tell it. Tell your story. Tell your story. And I brought some of these books along. I didn't remember if I left any here last time. I'm going to leave them here for you. It's the story of the Hopewell Network. How long have you guys been? Is it a year?
It's almost a year.
Almost a year.
Yeah.
Okay. We're engaged, right?
Yeah. we're
engaged and thinking about connecting for the future. And that's exciting, because we need resources and encouragement places. It's not so much the size of something that matters, it's the heart of it that matters. And I feel that here, the heart of it is mattering. And there's more people here, I think, than we were here last time. And there's some people that were missing today that weren't here. So there's things are happening in the midst of where you are. And you're getting to be a part of it. Don't be surprised. Do not be surprised if there's something unique entrusted to your fellowship. In the way of healing, for instance, I feel that strongly this morning. I'm the guy with the bad knees, by the way. I had them. And in the future, there's going to be such an outpouring of God's presence that it's going to be hard to deny him. It's going to be hard. This is part of that journey, to know that God is faithful, and what the enemy has tried to take away or destroy isn't going to happen, even though we're old, okay? Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to pray. If that's okay, is that all right?
Yep.
Okay.
Pray for her as she ministers.
No, we're praying for you.
Oh, you're praying for me?
We're praying for you.
Oh, okay.
So just
pray for you.
Don't worry.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. And everyone, just put your hands towards Sandy right now.
Holy Spirit, we just thank you for Sandy. God, we thank you for her life that's been laid down at your feet. We thank you for the way she loves you so well. God, we just ask that you would come with a fresh wave of your healing.
Yes, Jesus.
A fresh wave of your love. God, that you would heal her because you love her. God, that you would restore her, that you would bring comfort to her.
Yes,
peace and shalom to every part of her body, every part of her mind.
We just break off any heaviness that might be inside of her right now. And we just speak to the root of the cause of anything that is not of you to just be broken off and cursed and to leave in Jesus' name. And we just speak your supernatural joy.
Yes.
Through the night as well.
Yes.
The night as well.
Yes, especially. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Sandy, we just declare that you are one who dances upon injustice, and you will dance upon this cancer.
Amen.
Even in the hardest moments, he has anointed your feet to dance and to praise. you will be victorious and you will have the last word in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. All right, so we're having Kate come up. Kate, we have walked alongside her for a while now, before this became The Well. And Kate is an amazing, beautiful person who works with Shores of Grace in Brazil, where they rescue trafficked women and children. She's going to be talking about some sensitive things that are about trafficking. So if there are any kids and you don't want them to hear about that, have them stay in the room. And she's also going to show a video as well. All right.
Hi, I'm Kate. I know some of you. Yes, so I am a missionary in Brazil, and I've known Matt and Kat for forever. We used to actually have, like, a little Bible study in my parents' basement back in, like, 2008. So, like, Melody used to come, and it's so, like, overwhelming being here today and knowing, like, the seasons that God has but brought us through. And he was just reminding me during worship, and, like, Sandy and John were saying, you know, sometimes things get lost along the way, and the promises that he gave us 10, 15 years ago seem like, oh, we must have heard wrong. Like, that must have been a great idea that somehow we let die along the way. And I just felt like God was like, no, like, some of those promises you're still going to see fulfilled. And some of those promises are generational promises. They're promises that were given to you for your children and your children's children. Don't get discouraged and don't give up, you know? He's so present, and I love what he's doing. He's doing a new thing here, and it's beautiful. And I'm just like, it's just very overwhelming to look back and be like, wow, here we are. Who would have thought? So I grew up here in Souderton area, and I moved to Brazil in 2010 was my first term. So I've been back and forth for about 5 years. I could only do 6 months at a time because of visa issues, and I got a long-term visa, and I moved in 2017 to serve there full-time. So I've been full-time since 2017, living in Recife, Brazil, which is the northeast coast of Brazil. And I was stuck in the States during the pandemic for a while, but that's a whole other story. And honestly, the longer that I've been on the missions field, I feel like the less I have to say when I come back to America. You know, the more I know Jesus, the more I realize that I know very little, absolutely nothing most of the time. And, you know, Paul, who was one of the greatest apostles of all times, even said, you know, I claim to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And this season especially, with so many changes in culture and society and changes in America, changes in Brazil, I've been, like, really, I feel like the Lord is, like, stripping me down again and again and again. What's important? What's the point at the end of the day? Why are we here? Why are we still doing this, you know? Things in Brazil have not been easy, and some of you know some of those stories. And it's always a decision to renew that commitment and to renew our wedding vows and be like, okay, God, like, yeah, I'm going to continue. And I know that it means giving up my life again, but I'm going to say yes to you again. And he honors our free will. He loves us so much that he would never take that choice from us. And I just want to talk a little bit about dependency. And then the documentary is better than anything I could say. It'll just show you a brief summary of what we're doing, and then I'll give you some updates. But right, so when you move to another country, you have to learn the language, you have to learn the culture, you have to learn everything. It's so easy to come in and think, oh my gosh, look at me, I have all the answers, I have been in social work for X many years, and now I can apply everything I know to a system that is 50 years behind and think it's going to work. It is not. Nobody cares what you have to say, and nobody embraces this great new idea that you have that you think is going to change culture, right? So I think the primary lessons that I learned in the very beginning were lessons of dependency and silence, how to be a learner, how to be a child. You know, and one of my favorite teachers that I listened to a lot, he said, when you don't understand what's going on, practice watchful silence. The most powerful thing that you can do in difficult times is practice watchful silence. Listen and look and wait and see what God is saying beyond all the noise and all the voices. And it's a lot easier to talk than it is to listen. My parents will tell you I do have a lot of strong opinions, and I am learning to keep them to myself, especially during family meals. But no, I mean, like, this is really a discipline, too, that I'm learning and that Brazil has taught me on a much deeper level, because I have to be a student of those around me. And even my ability to speak it's dependent oftentimes, well, not now, but in the beginning, it was dependent on a translator. So it was dependent on someone else hearing my heart and repeating it. It's not just about the words, it's about the heart, you know, and these things, they all have to come through a translator. And God's love is translated through us. And to really be a steward of what he's doing and what he's saying, you know, like, he's after the heart. He's not after behavior modification. He's after your heart. And he is so in love with you guys. I think, you know, I was praying, like, God, what do you want to say today? I don't know that he actually wants to say anything. I think he would have just washed your feet and taken communion with you. I'm here to tell you about Brazil, but God is so in love with you. And, and through your dependence on him, through your brokenness and your willingness to just be vulnerable children, imperfect vessels, that's where we move and that's where he comes, you know. And working with trafficking victims is dependency at its deepest level for me, because you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. There's not words. It's just the encounter with God and perseverance, time and time again, fall after fall, that at the end of the day, you know, we are seeing lives transformed. But it's just through broken people that are willing to be there and to be present and to stay engaged even when it hurts. As the Lord's kind of been, like, speaking to me and stripping some things down, there were a couple of verses that were really on my heart for this morning. To summarize, I'll get into these in a second. Our focus in Brazil is on rescue, restoration, thank you, and prevention from trafficking and prostitution. Prostitution is legal in Brazil, but the structures and the broken families that kind of lead to this lifestyle are very, very much entrenched in a culture of poverty, deep poverty, and a lot of history and persecution. So working with, like, the poorest of the poor, I feel incredibly honored, actually. I feel incredibly privileged. I feel like God has spoiled me in a lot of ways. Because, you know, in the Beatitudes, God tells us that, you know, how we should position ourselves in front of him. And he says very clearly, blessed are the poor that realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are humble, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you are my followers. Be happy and be glad about it, for your reward awaits in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So it's this posture of poverty of spirit and humility before God that I see in the poor, oftentimes more often than I see it in the church. When you're on the street with homeless children or in the Red Light Avenue with women that are selling their bodies, they know their need for God is great. They understand that they have nothing. And so I think in many ways I learned far more from the poor and broken than they learned from me. You know, God says to love ourselves, to love him, that these are the highest commands, to love our neighbor. And then he says, beyond that, to love your enemy. And so at the end of the day, I feel like it's hard sometimes, especially when we read the Beatitudes and think, I should have arrived somewhere else. I should have it all together now, God. Like, I should know what I'm doing. I should be this, and I'm still here. I'm still just me doing my life, a broken person working with broken people. He doesn't look at it that way. He doesn't look at it as, like, did you arrive? Have you not arrived? Why are you not better? Why are you not more wise? Why are you not this? He says, are you still humble? Do you still grieve? Do you still feel people's pain? Or have you gotten hard of heart and numb and bitter? You know, he's truly looking inside. He wants to know, will you still show mercy or will you judge? Are you going to be a critic or are you going to get back in the ring and be hurt again? You know, like, these are the questions that our Father's asking. And these are the things that I learn day in and day out through the population that I get to work with. You'll see when we put the documentary on, because they say it far better than I could. But, you know, I've really come to a place in, you know, the past couple of months where God has corrected me so many times. And I've been angry, you know. We deal with a lot of intense injustice, crime, situations that I won't even begin to touch on. And I get angry. And I get angry, and I get angry. And there's times, multiple times a day, where I have to come to the Lord, and he will correct me and say, Kate, how dare you think that you don't need the same grace that they need? How dare you think that you have anything above them? You know, like, you need that same love and grace and mercy that they do. And, you know, like, it's so humbling, guys. It's so... The way that he loves us, and as we come to him, he equalizes us. This is not one sin is worse than another. This is not murder is worse than greed. This is sons and daughters of God, and before him, we are all nothing more than sons and daughters of God, you know? And we have a huge family in Brazil, a huge, 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 messy family. In the beginning, we had a home with about 5 kids. Now we have 20, and within the next year we'll be expanding to 2 homes, one with 20 girls between the ages of, I should know this, 5, I think we're dividing it at 5, so it'll be 5 to 18, and then a house just for babies and special needs, and we'll have 10 of those, 10 placements for now, 10 beds, and expand from there. But a lot of that growth has come through suffering, and has come through really being stripped and really asking those hard questions. Do you want to continue? Are you willing to continue forward? And if so, at what cost, you know? And do you really believe that God is good enough to make something beautiful out of what looks like a horrible mess in the moment, you know? So we're really excited, and you won't see the safe house in the documentary. This was shot in 2013, 2014. The safe house is obviously for girls that are leaving the sex trade or leaving abusive families. A lot of them are placed with us from the judge. Some of them come right off the street. So that's like the restoration part of what we're doing. And then you'll see on here, the street church is where we go to the streets and we work with the homeless kids in the parks and the alleys. And they are the primary targets for pimps and traffickers. So this is also part of prevention, is trying to connect with them, form relationships with them, form outlets for them to get connected and find safety outside of their homes, and many of their homes are on the street. We have game nights and Bible studies and worship and soccer teams and all sorts of stuff. And then the red light district are mostly old, not older women, but less children. And we have now a cafe as well, which is not shown here, that employs about 20 individuals. Most of them are coming out of situations such as human trafficking, prostitution, needing alternative employment. So we're able to work with them and mentor them and train them. And, you know, yes, they need healing. Yes, they need all the stuff. They also need money because most of them have families. They have kids. You know, we can't meet any spiritual, emotional need when there's still that physical lack of basic necessities like food and housing and all that. So we try to do both. And yeah, let's just do this. And then if there's questions at the end, we can.
All of this leads to 2 overarching questions. What do you think of God? And maybe more importantly, what does God think of you. This life is one giant dance between us and a God who is relentlessly pursuing us. Sometimes we run from him. Sometimes we rage at him. Sometimes we encounter him, and sometimes we engage with him. But always, it comes down to who we really are in the Father's eyes, no matter who we are, or where we're at, or what we've done. Nowhere was this more evident than when I went to Brazil to film a couple named Nick and Rachel Billman.
In Brazil, prostitution is legal, and so child prostitution is not, but it's not enforced. One of the things that we have here is a thing called sexual tourism, where people actually come from all over the world, specifically America and Europe, looking for Brazilian girls to have sex with, typically underage Brazilian girls. I remember one night we got to this tree church, and this little boy came up to me and he said, "Uncle, I killed someone today." And I said, "What?" And he said it just like if one of my own sons said, "Dad, look what I did today at school, you know? Uncle, I killed someone today." So proud of himself. And I said, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "Because he was lying about me, and I can't let him do that. I need to show that I'm not going to let somebody lie about me." So I stabbed him in the throat. He's 9 years old. But those boys, when they come into the presence of God, they're not murderers. They're sons. These little girls who come, maybe right from a client, 9 years old, sold their body for a cigarette or for food or for $5. The father, she's not a prostitute. She's a daughter. She's a princess. So our goal is to take that culture to their culture. Our goal is to blow up the walls of the bondage they lived in with the truth of their identity, to bring back to them the royalty that they deserve. Your daddy's princess is your daddy's princess.
So we went with them to Street Church, which has to be one of the craziest, messiest churches in the world. We arrive at night, and Nick immediately sets out to find as many people who want to come as he can. He admitted that most of who we will see, adult and child alike, must consistently sell their bodies to feed their bellies or their addictions. Nearly everyone we met was high, almost exclusively on glue, which is the cheapest drug available. But they came, following the invitation, and Street Church started. A sandwich, some juice, art projects, and singing, all designed to simply show them that they have value in the Father's eyes.
Church, you know, oftentimes we start with worship and sit there with the guitar, and sometimes you're the one that's just like singing really loud and everybody's not doing anything, and you're just kind of believing that you're the one changing the atmosphere. But last night there's this little boy sitting right here to my left, 6 years old, super sweet little boy, and for a little while he was singing with me, and then I kind of stopped, but I kept playing, and he just starts singing in Portuguese, and he's singing these words: "Come into my house, come into my heart. Jesus, come walk into my house. Come walk into my heart. Jesus, come and touch my heart. Jesus, come and touch my heart." And just singing this song, like, on his own. And it was beautiful because he's actually singing a spontaneous song in the spirit right there in the middle of this brokenness. And he's a 6-year-old boy who lives homeless on the streets in one of the most violent cities of Brazil. And in that place, he's singing out this spontaneous song, asking Jesus to come into his home. And what I love about that picture is, where is his home? He's a homeless boy. His home's right there on the streets, and he's asking Jesus, come into my home, come into my life, touch my heart. It wasn't, Jesus, take me away from here. Understand the difference. It wasn't, Jesus, come and give me a home. It was, Jesus, you come to me, and that's enough for me.
Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When I was praying about going to Brazil to film with Nick and Rachel, I felt the Lord telling me to do something very specific with them. It didn't make much sense to me, and the thought of putting myself on the line for this was terrifying. The first part was to put on a kind of banquet for any of the prostitutes who wanted to come, and simply bless them with love, kindness, good food, and gifts. I had no idea when God told me this that Nick and Rachel were already starting to do these. But the second part of it involved us doing something very specific.
So yeah, I mean, one of the things you asked me that you felt from the Spirit was that we were going to have a song, spontaneous song that had never been sung before, to sing over these girls that would be like the breaking point that would unlock their hearts, and that the Holy Spirit would just fall on the room at that moment. So I don't know if you asked me that a couple months ago or when it was, but ever since then I've just been like, okay, Father, we'll go for it then. Honestly, I haven't even really prayed into it, because it's like, I trust that Darren hears from the Holy Spirit. Let's go for it on that night. And we'll just let him sing the song that he wants to sing, and we'll release it however he wants to release it, and see what it's going to do to these girls. For Rachel and I, it will be a Holy Spirit thing, because for us to sing spontaneously in Portuguese is a real challenge for us. We don't have that yet when we speak Portuguese, but it's way different to just grab words out of the Spirit and sing them. So I'm really excited about that tonight, asking the Father, just give me the words to sing over these girls that they need to hear. Give me the love song that you're singing over them. Father, you know Portuguese, so I'll let you sing it to me and I'll sing it to them.
The banquet is really, really special for us, because this is a time that we get to invite all these precious ones that we've been talking to on the streets. You know, we go regularly to the streets. We have a relationship with these girls. But we just really wanted an opportunity to just lavish them with love, you know, and really just pour into them, because everyone that comes to them, all their clients, even sometimes the churches that come, they all want something from them. Even if it's just, you know, I want to spend this time with you, but can you say this prayer at the end of us spending this time together? It's still wanting something from them. So we want to give them an opportunity, and we want to open it up as like a fellowship, a safe fellowship, that they can come in and they can hear the word of God without any judgment from churches, without any of those complications. Just they know when they come, they're coming into a safe place, and we're going to love them right where they're at.
Thank you. And as Nick started to play, it was as if the Holy Spirit, who hovers over the waters, heard that his daughters needed him, and he came for them, to show them how he really saw them, not as prostitutes, but as his spotless bride.
Meninas, enquanto elas estão ministrando para vocês, eu quero falar uma coisa que a Bíblia fala, que é que Deus, Pai Deus, dos céus, está cantando sobre cada de vocês, cada de nós, e Ele está cantando com amor, com alegria e com liberdade. Então, hoje à noite, eu quero pedir para uma canção nova, que nunca foi cantada antes. Uma canção nova que nunca foi cantada antes. O que é a canção dentro do coração do Pai, que Ele está cantando sobre vocês. E eu vou pedir para o Espírito Santo vir e cantar essa canção para vocês. O que está dentro do coração do Pai para vocês. Porque Ele está cantando sobre vocês. És a canção dentro do meu coração, minha filha. Tu és o sorriso do meu face, meu amor. Dentro do meu coração, minha filha, tu és o sorriso do meu face, meu amor. Ela está cantando sobre vocês. Eu nunca. And as if God gently letting these women know how much he cares for them wasn't enough, two of them, as a result of simply encountering the love of the Father, finally realized their worth as daughters of the King and decided that it was time to leave this old life behind. Both now work with Nick and Rachel's ministry, Shores of Grace.
So we're just going to have a quick time of questions and answers for Kate. But before we do that, I just want to share with everyone, if you're open to, you know, asking the Lord if you're supposed to partner with Kate, you can do so by writing any checks out to Kate, Attention Kate, in the back to the Well Church. Also, for monthly support, where's Tiffany? Tiffany's right back there. You can speak with her about that. And then if you, if something comes up during the week, in every bulletin there's these little cards here that are for Kate, and it gives the information online of where you can give. Also on our website at dwelltwell.com under missions, you can as well. I'm going to bring Kate up now So if any of you have any questions, and then we're going to finish with prayer after that.
So we're going to do 5 or 6 questions, and then we'll close with prayer.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are you still having visa issues?
Yes and no. The Brazilian consulate is chronically changing their laws. So they changed their laws again. I should have a residency as of two years ago. I am a resident of Brazil, but they changed that law again. So I still have my visa. I'm still good to go. But I still have to renew it every year, which means there's always the chance that they could be like, nope, go back.
Okay. So where are you at right now?
Right now, my visa is valid until November, and then I'll have to renew it again. Yeah. So never know.
Can you give us an update on your housing situation?
My housing situation? Yes. So we have just come through a really rough six weeks. It's been every year the rainy season kind of devastates, especially the poorer parts of our city, because there's not infrastructure to contain the floods. And so when it rains, and it rains hard during monsoon season, there's terrible, terrible destruction. This year has been worse than probably the past 10 years. There's over 100 fatalities. Entire communities that we work with have been wiped off the map, are underwater. The schools have been closed, and a lot of the population from the slums is sleeping on the ground of the schools and all that. So in the middle of this chaos, my apartment was also destroyed in mid-May. So I was looking for a new place, and there was still a lot of complications with trying to find a house as a foreigner, an apartment as a foreigner. Anyway, I do have a new apartment. It does not leak as much as the old one. Yeah, we're very blessed. It's in a newer building, has a generator, so the elevator works most of the time. And it's been dry. And actually, when I left to come back here, two of my other friends, their apartment was also destroyed, so they're staying there until they find another place as well. So I'm good now. I have an apartment.
Is there any price increase in the rent for that apartment?
Not in the rent for this apartment.
Okay, good.
What specific needs do you have?
What specific needs do I have at this time?
What ongoing needs do you have? And do you have any needs that were created because of being flooded out?
There was a financial increase during that time. I think now we're back to kind of baseline. I have to rebudget a little bit to see. But the majority, prayer. And I feel lame saying that a lot of times. I'm like, well, you can pray for me. But really, it's really intense, and I feel the power of the church, and I feel the power of prayer, and I feel when people are engaged, it's in the spirit. There's just a covering that is very tangible.
Kate does a newsletter, so if you want to be involved with what she's doing every month and hear what's going on, you can sign up for the newsletter.
Yes, thank you, Kat. You can sign up for the newsletter if you want to know more specifically, how to pray, or, when I do have news, I do post them on the newsletter. I'm trying to work on my newsletter. I'm not always that good at sending it out regularly, but, yeah.
Kate might not say this, but I would like to, because there is an ongoing need financially. Mm-hmm. It is a potential, stressor when you're really trusting the Lord every month for your provision. And we really want to be a part of how that need is supplied. So the work that she's doing over there is so incredible. And if we can lessen that by providing that financial support, we really want to do that. So. Anyone else, Libby?
Can you talk a little bit about your heart and your art?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a photographer, I'm an artist. Before I went to Brazil, that was social work and photography was what I did. And I've translated that into the mission. And I do a lot of their media work for them, and photography and documentation, and I write a lot. And I've been teaching. So this past year, this is my friend Drew. I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me to take some time and some energy and some resources and set them aside specifically for the arts. And so we started a program this year, and I've been teaching for a while, but a more intentional time of teaching the arts for job creation, photography, digital design, that type of thing, and then art, the application therapeutically. So like art therapy as in sitting with the Lord, what does grief look like? All of these types of things. And it's been incredible. It has been probably one of the most rewarding years of my life because that's my passion, you know, and it's always been like a source of connection with God and healing for me personally. And then to be able to share it with the girls, up until now, we've been in a place of crisis, really. Like, so this was shot 2014 up until about 2018, I would say. It was like crisis resolution, crisis resolution, crisis resolution. We didn't have a large enough team to handle everything as it came. And so there wasn't time and energy to like sit down and like, let's make art, you know? So this is like a new season really for the ministry and for me. We have a team of about 80 people now. The safe houses are fully staffed. We have teams that are able to do, that focus on outreach. We have teams that focus on banquets in the red light district. And then we have teams that focus on the slums. So I used to do everything, and now we have enough people to do everything. And God was like, you do art now. Like, I want you to focus on that for some time. It's amazing. Thank you, Valerie. I didn't even think about this. Yes, so it's been really fun. And it's fascinating because the girls that come in, like, some of them are incredibly, incredibly artistic and creative, but they don't have the art programs in the schools. So they're not learning how to use their gifts. They're not having, like, an application. A lot of them, like, crowns, color pencils, they've never used them before until they come into the home. Things like writing their name because of the trauma and the way that they've, the abuse that they've come through. You know, we have 16 or 17-year-olds who are just learning to write their name. And they get so excited. Like, you teach them to draw, like, the outline of a heart, and it's like they feel so good about themselves because they've never known. Like, it's just, you know, these very little things. And then we have other girls that are just incredibly gifted creatively. There's a 13-year-old that I'm working with that's, like, making documentaries now. She's always, like, trying to borrow phones from the different staff to, like, make little films. And she's so smart and so talented. So it's been really fun to, and also to give them an outlet, right? Because a lot of these kids, all of these kids have stories, incredible stories, horrific stories, and testimonies. Like, what God has done through them is so tangible and undeniable and powerful and potent, and they don't have a way to tell it because they're in hiding. So, you know, we can't tell their names, they can't show their faces, all of these things. And so for them, it can be a very isolating experience. What do you do with all of that trauma when you, it's just you and these girls in this house, and maybe you go to school, but nobody knows your story, and you don't have a family and all that? So we've done a couple events now where they've created some different art pieces and put it up and been able to show it with, like, things that they've written, unidentifiable. But it's been really cool because they'll come and they'll be there anonymously, just kind of watching. And we actually had a police officer come through the last exhibition we did with the girls. And the police in Brazil are very, very, very corrupt. They don't care. They don't have resources to help, and they're just expendable. So this population, like, the girls are afraid of the police. The police are not friends for them or a source of help to them. But we had a police officer come through the exhibition crying. He was reading what one of the girls wrote on the wall and just crying, crying, crying. He came up to me afterward and he said, I gotta tell you, I don't cry and I haven't cried in years. But looking at these images and reading these stories, I don't know what God's doing in my heart. And so it's been, like, very powerful and beautiful. And also for me, like, a very, kind of like a great experiment. Like, okay, God, I believe in this, but how is it gonna apply? Especially in the developing world where, I mean, poverty is the role of the book. Art is frivolous. So it's been awesome.
Any other questions? All right, well, we're going to quick pray over Kate. We're going to quick say a prayer over Kate. And if anyone has any questions on how to help her with finances, you can talk to Kate, also to Tiffany in the back as well. All right, so we're all just going to join in and...
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It's good. Thank you, Lord. We are so thankful that Kate came today, Lord, and just shared her heart, Lord, and just to see all that you're doing through her and through all of the shores of Grace Ministry. Lord, we just pray over Kate right now for a complete refreshing over her mind, body, and spirit, Lord God. We just pray that she would feel the support of those who are praying for her. But Lord, we just speak restoration and healing, Lord, over any trauma that has come over Kate right now.
Yes.
We just speak to that trauma to be broken off. And we just have your Holy Spirit just fill her. Just fill her and refresh her.
Mm-hmm. And Father God, I pray too that the ongoing trauma that she experiences as she's around people, and that there would be no transferences from anybody into her spirit, that you would protect her in mind, body, soul, spirit, her heart, every part of her, Lord, that nothing would stick to her that is not of you. So, Father, we pray for the favor of God to rest on her in every area of her life, in her health, in her finances, provision, her anointing, that she would experience the favor of God. Thank you, Father, for her heart. Thank you for her ministry. Thank you for the calling. Thank you for her giftedness, Lord. Thank you that that gift of art, Lord, how beautiful it is that it can be an expression of somebody's inner feelings that they can't put in words, but they can put it in art. They can put it in music. They can put it in different ways that words can't express. So I pray that you give Kate a special anointing to interpret that, to see what it is they're drawing, and to know their deepest needs so that she has the anointing, the wisdom, the discernment to speak into it. Father, bless her with that special gift of anointing.
Thank you, Lord, for a heart that wants to restore the identity and purpose of individuals.
Amen.
And Lord, that's a very special gift and a special anointing. And so, Lord, in the midst of that, we also need your faithful provision and ongoing awareness that you're directing and doing everything possible to bring fruitfulness and favor to her ministry and to her life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're grateful, Lord, for that. And I want to pray that this, I would want to read this as a blessing over you, but I think it's probably for all of us. There's a promise in each sun that rises and hope as each day starts anew. There is a sunshine for each hour of darkness and strength for the work you must do. There is grace to meet all of life's problems and help for the difficult place. There is mercy and tender compassion for all of the trials you face. There is love that is boundless and constant, and faith that is quiet and true. When you understand that God holds your hand and is walking life's pathway with you. Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we know that because we are your sons and daughters, that we have power and authority in your holy name, God.
Amen.
And we know that our prayers are powerful and heard by you.
Amen.
And God, we just want to bring to life the vision that I had of Kate standing and money being thrown at her feet, blessing her in abundance so that she can continue to do what is needed,
Lord.
Not just money, but in ways of open doors for her, places to live and proper visas and residencies and all the things. We know, and I have the goosebumps to feel it. We know, God, we believe in you. We believe that you will bring these things to pass. We believe that Kate is shifting atmospheres. She will continue to shift atmospheres. She will touch every single life that comes in her contact. She will be your hands and feet.
Amen.
She has been your hands and feet. And you are going to continue to bless that. We agree. We align with your heart, God. We know that you have nothing but abundance planned for her. Mm-hmm. And she is going to shift Brazil. She is going to shift the lives that she comes in contact with, God. Mm-hmm. And you are going to create. You are going to build. You are going to come to fruition. Everything that is in her heart, all the ideas that she has that are yours, are going to come to life. because you are working through her. And we believe in that power, God. And we thank you, thank you, thank you in advance for the abundance that you are bringing to her. We thank you for your everlasting protection. Yes. For your heart that lives through her. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you in your perfect name, God. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That was awesome. If anyone, if the Lord was showing you something for Kate, please write it down and, you know, share that with her as well. But you're dismissed and everyone can just be blessed and hang out if you want.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away.